The fusion of passion, politics, and information you can trust. From Riverside County, California, the United America Network presents Straight Outta RIVCO, hosted by Anise Smith and Francisco Ramos.
From Cathedral to Corona, Marietta to the rest, I'm straight outta RIVCO, let me tell you how it is.
Now, here is Anise and Francisco.
Hello, Riverside County and everybody else listening. My name is Anise.
And I'm Francisco.
And we are straight out of RIVCO.
Thank you for coming to our first episode. This is our inaugural edition on a podcast that both of us are looking forward to doing about local news, politics, and our commentary on things that are changing politically here in Riverside County. This is our first episode, as I said, and I hope you enjoy it. Please leave us your feedback in the comments if you can. Like and subscribe. Please subscribe to other UAN shows as well. And we'll get started by telling you a little bit about us, our involvement, how we got here, and then about Proposition 50, which is the latest pivotal thing that happened to our county congressionally. So I'll hand it off to Anise.
Thank you, Francisco. And we're extremely excited to be here. And I bet you're wondering, why did we pick the name Straight Outta RIVCO? As it happens, both of us are from Riverside County. Both of us grew up here. I myself was born up north, but I have lived most of my life in Riverside County in the Temecula Valley area. I went to schools here from elementary school all the way to high school. And now as an adult, having returned to California after going to school out of state for a few years, I have lived most of my life in Riverside County. And so for me, it matters what happens here. I've seen the growth over the years, the changes, the frustrations, all of the things. And so Riverside County, is an often overlooked part of the state, considered rural. We do stretch all the way from Blythe to Corona. It's an absolutely huge county. And so for me, having grown up in the Temecula Valley area and now living in the Coachella Valley for over 12 years now, I think that we have an important perspective about Riverside County and the diversity here and the different cultural implications of the things that happen in Riverside County. And so that's what I'm hoping to bring to this conversation.
Absolutely. It's a good conversation for us to have. We're old friends. We've got involved from volunteering in their county party here, and we're not going to bring our perspective to local news in this. Part of my own story is I was born in neighboring San Bernardino County in Loma Linda. I won't tell you the date. A little while ago.
A long time ago, I'm sure.
A long time ago. And I've spent most of my life here. I've been here since the age of one. I lived out in LA County for a little bit, and I've lived in rural parts of Riverside County and now here in the greater Coachella Valley area, just outside of the Valley. And it's been a really great experience. But like you've said with your experience in Temecula, there's been so much change that's happened, especially in the last 20 years. A lot of things that are impacting, especially marginalized groups. And this will be one new thing to talk to voters about, especially on how you are involved in a transition of the way your congressional map looks and the way that the actual Congress will represent our county and our area. It's all led to this. I know everyone's going to join us online and for the ride here, and we're going to be guiding you through. We're going to read the news so you don't have to, so to speak. With that, let's get into Prop 50.
Yeah, and Prop 50 being one of the most significant recent events that have taken place, politically speaking.
They were going to go through with it. They did. The Texas House Democrats and some of the senators also did a very valiant fight in trying to keep Texas from going down that path, but they did. And with not really clear intentions of how this was going to work out in California, this was placed on the ballot and it did pass overwhelmingly. But yeah, a little bit more about that and what it means. If you want to get into the boundaries, it's kind of an interesting thing.
Yeah, and I think that the language that was used here was very important because part of the messaging was that this is temporary because we have an independent commission that draws all these maps. And so it temporarily suspended those maps and redrew new maps up until 2030. And so I mentioned earlier that I wasn't entirely on board with it because the concept of fighting fire with fire, right? I wasn't sure if Texas does this and then California does this, then what is that going to trigger across the nation? All these different states are going to start gerrymandering and adding seats and doing different things, and where does it end? So at first I was a little bit unsure, but as time went on, I understood that the fighting fire with fire was something that we cannot just sit here and let these things happen to us. That has been a lot of the criticism, I would say, of the Democratic Party, is that we're just continuing to let things happen to us, and we're screaming about it, but what action are we taking? And so Prop 50 was a very affirmative act taken to say, hey, we're not just gonna stand by and let this happen. And so now we have these new districts. It was triggered because Texas decided to move forward with theirs, and so we went ahead with ours. And it won by a landslide. A landslide. Even here in Riverside County.
Yeah, it did. At first, it was unsure. There'll be a link in the low in the area below on some of our different numbers that came from the original proposition of internally, what were the numbers and what would they be? It was polling in the low 30s. And the governor's office, according to Politico, and this article came out a few months back, but it's about the man that actually drew the maps, and no one was sure about how this would go. Paul Mitchell is the guy that actually drew them. He is a map drawer and has also done this for community college districts. So he was familiar with the process, and he also did our last series of maps in the last redistricting for the nonpartisan commission. So
he knows what he's talking about.
Knew what he was talking about, has been here before, and to your point, he was also conflicted about what exactly does this mean, because California has not been a blue state forever. Dominated by Republicans for decades up until the 2010s, and the recession came around, and he was also concerned, what does this mean for the future? Are we setting ourselves up for a path that is maybe going to negatively affect us if we're no longer a blue state? But he felt, just like you said, fight fire with fire and fight something with good, clear action that will be maybe not what we wanted, but because Texas moved forward, we're going to respond, and that's exactly what got him involved. And the governor's office, too. Yes, it did pass overwhelmingly. It was huge. We had such a great turnout. It mapped better than other areas and other initiatives that have gone forward before. As a matter of fact, it did better than the recall. Than when Gavin Newsom was up for recall. The recall was defeated, and it did better than that.
Isn't it worth pointing out, though, that Riverside County voted yes to recall Gavin Newsom, isn't that right? And in addition to that, in 2024, voted for President Trump.
Yep.
So for Riverside County to now turn and vote, what was the last numbers on that? 60%?
68%.
68% in favor of Prop 50, that is a huge swing away from positions that we as a county have previously taken. And I think that impact really can't be understated, because what is that telling us, right? When we look at these numbers and these outcomes, we have to really draw from the data and say, what is that telling us? And I think it's telling us that people are pissed off. They're tired of Trump. They're seeing that his policies are hurting Riverside County. Riverside County families are not doing better under these policies. And Prop 50, this is just the beginning, right? Because we have the midterms are next year. And I think Prop 50 is a very good signal, particularly for Democrats, that Republicans should be concerned.
Yeah,
this was
should.
A huge warning signal.
Yeah, it is. And I'm looking at an article, again, this will be in the links below, the Public Policy Institute of California. Some of the exit polls that came out of the campaign show that amongst 18 and 29-year-olds, 75% went in favor of Prop 50, which is a huge, swing. Democrats nationwide have been losing Latinos as a demographic, which has been very concerning. And also amongst the registered voters, those that were in the higher bracket, which would be 40-year-olds, is 71% in favor. What does that tell you? It really tells you that the public policies of Trump's administration are not gaining any voters that he already had won in 20. So we are seeing that shift back, and it's happening here in our county, obviously. And that leads to where we are now in the boundaries.
And we're getting, these are brand new opportunities. I'm excited about this because we're going to be getting, hopefully, because we still have to win races, representation in areas where we have not had it. In Calvert, 19 terms in Congress, one of the longest serving
long
members.
Time.
And then Daryl Issa, and both of them being amongst the wealthiest members of Congress. As long as Ken Calvert has been in Congress, that's about as long as we've been alive.
Pretty much.
That's how long. And so for Riverside County, these are names that we've grown up with. We are used to them. We recognize them. He has been our representative, and now effectively, and we ran very strong candidates, particularly Will Rollins, twice against Ken Calvert and came up short. Now, and I think there were a number of reasons for that, but I say all of that to say that for the first time, we're actually going to be seeing new faces, different backgrounds, different experience that are going to be representing. And I think we should talk about, because in conversation with folks, I know that not everybody knows exactly now where the redrawing lands, what district do I fall into. And so I'm interested in that, because particularly CA-41, which is where we've been in for all this time, has effectively gone away for Riverside County. Now we're talking about the big conversation, and the more competitive district now is going to be CA-48.
Yeah, where is CA-41? This is the old district, so we're talking about Ken Calvert. So for those that don't have a screen in front of you right now that might be listening, CA-41 essentially went from the La Quinta area way over in the eastern part of Riverside County.
Norco, Corona.
I'm going to go east-west. It's like a W, essentially, is what it was. Went up north all the way to the border of Calamasa. Didn't hit Marina Valley or Paris. It skipped over San Jacinto and Hemet. It also covered part of the other western cities of the Coachella Valley. And then it goes back up into Temescal Valley, Lake Elsinore, and then ended at Corona. That's where Old 41 went. And Old 41, as a matter of fact, give me just a second, I could see where Calvert 1, just to give you a perspective on the numbers. Calvert 1 in 2024 against Bill Rollins by a margin of 51-48, which is one of the closest elections in that district. It's unfortunate Will didn't win.
What a heartbreak.
A serious heartbreak.
He was a phenomenal candidate.
Very good candidate. Another person that came close in old districts before 41 was made, it was also Bill Hedrick. Mm. He came within 4 or 5 points years ago and did a good job here. And now you're in the new district, and the new district literally cut old 41 right in half.
Okay.
And the old 41 now has its western portion, which would be the Corona area, thrown into Orange County. So that's going to go over toward Young Kim's district, which is going to hit the border of near Santa Ana region and kind of that greater area. And then it also threw some of the southern part of Old 41 into Congressional 48. Congressional 48 is coming from San Diego up north, if you're thinking about this in your heads.
Like East San Diego,
Escondido. And one corner of 48 almost touches the Salton Sea. It's not quite there. Mm-hmm. It's the edge of a square. And then it goes up almost like a circle up and covers the western Coachella Valley. So it's covering some of our other cities in that area, and also unincorporated Hemet, Menifee, San Jacinto. So he got cut right in half. Mm-hmm. And now there's a Democratic advantage for both those other districts. Mm-hmm. They're now scurrying to figure out where they're going to go. I thought it was hilarious that Darrell Issa is now thinking about going to Texas. Apparently he's decided officially, according to, I think it was LA Times, to stay in California. What is it with your politicians picking their voters? I know Prop 50, a response to Texas, okay, that was not our first choice. But that is really something special for Issa to go, okay, Texas, here we go. Let's figure out if you can get the richest man back into Congress.
I mean, he's been around for so long. If he felt so confident that he was doing a solid job and that he was properly representing his constituents, then why run? I'm like, yes, it is a +4 Democratic district now, but +4, that's within the margin. If people don't turn out, he could win again. So don't run scared. And I also read that story, but it sounds, unfortunately, like he will be running in 48.
Yeah, probably. We got Calvert running against Young Kim.
District 40.
We got some Republican violence happening in the congressional districts out there. With Young Kim having a greater amount of money in the bank comparative to Ken Calvert, he's got almost $5 million. He has a hair over 2.5. So we will see what happens. Splitting up a district is bad in our jungle primary system.
Can you talk about that? What is a jungle primary for those who don't know?
Yeah, jungle primary system is something California's had for our elections for a long time when it was first implemented, but it means that if you have one person that reaches 53% or higher, that person will eventually be elected on that ballot. So you could technically have someone reach majority in a primary, and that's now your new elected official. When it's a primary district or it's closed, you have to have one Republican and one Democrat go forward to a general election. That's a closed primary. We have open primaries. So unless I'm wrong, I believe that could happen over there. Maybe I'm correct on that fact. But it's still bad for strategy, and it's bad for the brand of the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. Up until now, you've had small districts in the assembly, because they are minority, and also in the congressional districts, not fight each other. So remember, we had Kevin McCarthy up in the north, we had Devin Nunes. They had very safe districts. They can spend their money in their districts. It didn't fight any other Republicans. It fought Democrats. The narrative was very clear. Now you have Young Kim claiming in that article that she is a representative from Orange County, has been there longer, and knows her district better. And you have Calvert saying, I've been just generally around as a politician longer than her, therefore I'm a better representative. It pulls the strings apart about what they've all been about here, and I think we're going to get into really good politics of figuring out what exactly have they done for their districts.
What have you done? And these were two individuals that supported the big, beautiful bill.
They did.
Cuts to Medicaid, SNAP, defunding Planned Parenthood. Right. It could go on and on. And so when you look at 48, this is a district that includes Palm Springs. Come on. One of the most liberal, inclusive places that you're going to And that completely shifted the whole thing. That's why they drew it that way. But that's why I think it's so important, especially for folks in Riverside County, to see that with this redrawing, there is an opportunity now for the future moving forward to have a huge impact here on what we're going to see as far as policy that impacts our communities, from housing to transportation to water to healthcare. Reproductive freedom is still on the ballot. And these are the things, and we have multiple Planned Parenthood facilities that are providing clinics, that are providing healthcare to thousands of people right here in Riverside County that depend on those Medicaid reimbursements. Yeah. And so they are looking now at being completely unable to function and be able to provide those services to the community because of the Big Beautiful Bill. That is what these two individuals voted for. And I can tell you, voters in Palm Springs are not going to be supportive of that or anyone who's talking about that. And we fought against Ken Calvert unsuccessfully, but now sounds like he's not our problem anymore, at least not in CA 48.
No, Emma, for everybody that's a Democrat or even a, I would say, conscious Republican that's interested in keeping their healthcare costs low because premiums are obviously going to shoot up now that healthcare pool is going to shrink. Think of the people that are Republicans that are in the Lake Elsinore, Lakeland Village area, Wildomar, Murrieta. This is the eastern part of District 40. Mm-hmm. It kind of cuts off around Menifee. That's rural hospitals that are going to be your primary emergency health care. What's that going to look like if their services are reduced? What's that going to look like if you're on some of the fringe, lower coverage areas of Medicare and you need emergency services? What if they can't have that? Or they have reduced staffing, which I think is like the first step in what those hospitals are considering and trying to keep their costs low, is the staffing is not going to be as robust as it is currently, which maybe it's not even sufficient now, right? The changes are just really stark. It's scary to think of. But back to what you were saying about that's District 40's problem. You're going to...
Ken Calvert.
Yeah, Kim, Calvert and Kim.
Bye.
Not just on bye. This is what you bought. This is your. These are your representatives here. Mm-hmm. They're actively killing your health care. And once those things happen, and they're not easy to reverse, if they can be reversed, then I think a lot of people are going to be asking, who exactly pulled the lever on this?
It sounds to me like you're talking about the importance not only of just voting, but knowing who you're voting for. And I really think that people are paying attention to what is going on now.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, the energy and the enthusiasm for Prop 50 was amazing. The collaborative effort that we saw, we were knocking on people's doors, we were making phone calls, people were really out there. And on election day, I was doing some election monitoring, poll monitoring, and these lines were 2 hours long in Palm Desert and in Indio, and that's what was reported across the county. People got out and voted. They are like, enough of this crap. We want to get out and support Prop 50 because we want to have a voice and finally say enough of this, and that's going to translate.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned how the district is increasing points for some that are here, and that's like kind of borderline. Let's not forget, like you were mentioning, we had great turnout, great enthusiasm. It's like the first time California got to punch back at the Trump administration and its really regressive immigration policy. You have to keep going and voting. This is not going to be a bystander sport. If you have a district that has a plus four Democrat, you need to have almost 90% of those people come out to actually get to the plus four, right? Mm-hmm. Keep involved. Keep your neighbors involved. Keep yourself involved. Don't let that ballot burn an image on your desk because you didn't put it back into the mail, right? It's never been easier to vote.
And our vote is our power. And I think that's one of the messages that I'm hoping to impart here by these conversations that we're having as Riverside County residents, Democrats, people who are involved and really on the front lines in a lot of different ways over the years, that voting is so important, but information is important. We want to share this so that you know what's going on, because this is a conversation about where we live and what's going on here. We're not going to hear that all the time. So I'm really looking forward to what we're going to be talking about in our upcoming episodes, all the various things that are happening. We'll make sure to talk about them and provide different perspectives. But I know I'm excited to be here because I want Riverside County to be taken seriously. The people who live here deserve to be taken seriously, because what happens here has implications across the state and across the country.
Yep. So you're in for the journey with us, and we're glad to start this with you. Leave a comment. Tell us what you thought. Give us your thoughts about the future, about Prop 50. And please remember, this is not a spectator sport. So
it is not. And my name is Anise.
I'm Francisco.
And this is Straight Outta RIVCO. Thanks for listening.
See you soon.
Straight Outta RIVCO, and I tell you, rock it.